Hello, and welcome to Arcane Connection, episode 10. And joining me again tonight is Andrew Kronoski, who was, as some of you know, here for episode 9 of Arcane Connection, where we talked about grogs. Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening, Chris. CJ. How shall I call you?
CJ or Chris, either's fine by me. I became CJ in the days when I worked on a popular ghost hunting show called Most Haunted. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I haven't caught that. I don't think that one made it across the pond.
Oh yeah. It was the first and biggest. It was in America for years. Sadly know, because I talked to so many Americans about it.
I'll have to dig it up then.
I also did an episode of Ghost Adventures, which is another one of these things, and many, many more. Anyway, enough of this. We'll talk about ghosts in another episode, I'm sure. Tonight, we're going to talk about those fiery magi, Craoic them and all that, House Flambeau or House Flambeau. We would tend to say Flambeau over here after the French, but the Latin is probably Flambeau. And as Andrew's our expert, because he wrote Houses of Hermes Societatis Flambeau chapter, Andrew, would you like to, tell us how you came to do that first?
Certainly. Societatis was the first book I wrote for Ars Magica, unless you count the Book of Mundane Beasts. I became an Ars Magica author through a roundabout process involving, what was it called, Mythic Perspectives first and Hermes Portal. I had a column in Hermes Portal and playtested 5th edition, and as you may recall, there was some controversy when 5th edition came out because it had no animal statistics.
Absolutely.
And I just said, I sent some email to David Chart and said, I'd be happy to provide these for you if that's okay. And he said, great. And we worked out a contract. So then I was kind of in. I was accepted as an Ars Magica author. And so I was one of the author pool who was given a chance to write for Societatis. And so I put in a pitch, and it turned out to be accepted. And so that's how I got started.
Here's a question. I've always wondered about this.
Yeah.
When you wrote the Book of Beasts with all of those stats, did you also design the animal creation rules that appear in Houses of Hermes Mystery Cult?
I did not. Those were done, I believe, by Mark Shirley. He did a very fine job with them. And I'm skirting my non-disclosure agreement here. Let me say that David Chart knew what the left hand and the right hand were doing and did a lot of work to make sure that what I did was consistent with what Mark did.
Oh, okay, right, because I always wondered, because I remember when we did Mysteries Revised Edition, I'd included stats for some demonic entities, because we needed to have some stats in that book. And then, of course, when Realm of Power Magic was being written, people wrote and said, well, what system did you use to create these? And I said, well, actually, you know, we just made them up. We made up the game stats to look right, which was, you know, a problem, because they no longer fit exactly into what you get with Realms of Power Magic, so they therefore had to be, Realms of Power Magic had to retrofit what had gone before in 5th edition. So that was why I asked about that. I'm sure this is incredibly dull to everybody else out there. It's just one of those issues of, when you write books, one of the great things about the Ars Magica 5th line is it is very consistent, because we try and make everything retrofit into what came before. Now,
Dave does a very nice job of managing that, by the way. He's proactive about saying, well, you need to know about this, and he'll make sure that the authors are well informed to be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things, though, that did come out is that with 5th edition, we reset the canon.
We did.
And because of that, you did not have to take on board anything at all about the history of House Flambeau.
I didn't. Not much.
Well, you did. He still comes from Iberia. He still fought the Moors. He still is involved with fire magic. Apramor and other characters still exist. I mean, you could have just said that he actually came from Ireland, that he was a fairy magician who developed fire. And, you know, yes, you could have completely rewritten all of that, but you didn't. You took a lot of the canonical background and used it.
Yes, not enough to please everyone, as it turns out, but I did use the canonical Flambeau as a starting point. And what I wanted to do when I was writing House Flambeau was to try to broaden the appeal of the house. versus what I had seen from 3rd and 4th edition.
Stereotypical Fire Mage in many, many, many sagas.
As we discussed last time in the Grogs podcast, I am kind of an old school player. I like to have some action in my games. I like to have some combat. So there's plenty of room for fighting Maggie in my saga.
Yep.
But I'm also aware, for instance, that David Chart has rather openly downplayed the role of combat in 4th and 5th edition, and there are a lot of players who don't have a lot of action. I'm sorry, I'm getting feedback from my microphone. Is the audio okay? So let me go back to... And there are a lot of players who want a more, well, sort of dramatic game based on dialogue and so on with little or no fighting. And I felt that House Flambeau wasn't, as written in 3rd edition, wasn't really suited to those players. And let me see. Now, at that point, Mystery Cult had already come out. Societates was the last of the House books, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it was, yeah.
So, right, True Lineages did great stuff, in my opinion, with House Tremere.
Yep.
And Bonus Sagas 2, and Mercier is the other one in there. I don't want to slight that, because, really expanded the role of House Mercier in the order and the options that a player has.
Yep.
And really looking at that, it was, I wanted to do the same thing for House Flambeau.
Yeah.
So that they could fit into a variety of sagas, a variety of play styles, and would become less of a niche house. My perception was, and from the Burke list and Project Redcap and so on, that House Flambeau was one of the least popular, if not the least popular house. And I wanted to open up new possibilities for it.
Now, it's interesting you say that, because over here in the UK, I mean, I run Grand Tribunal annually. Neil and Sheila run it every couple of years, or have done historically. I've run the last few myself. We used to alternate between Cambridge and Cheltenham, and now, for the second year running, it's going to be in Cheltenham. But House Flambeau's always been immensely popular amongst the player groups that I personally have known. I think it could be mainly because I have one player called Pete Hiley, Lucius Delvander, who's currently playing the Primus of House Flambeau in our Elba Rosa campaign. But yeah, it's always been a major, major, major part of every saga I've ever been involved with.
If I had known that, I would have been a bit daunted and maybe less bold in the revision.
Really? I thought the revision was
excellent. Yeah, I think so. I would have been cold feet and may not have pitched for it at all.
So when it actually happened, when the revision came out and your new take on the house was revealed, were you met with applause and plaudits, or were you met with a flame war on the Bark list? I mean, the Bark list has always been notorious for flame wars, though I don't think we have paradigm wars anymore.
No, we don't have paradigm wars anymore. There was some muted praise and, some strident complaints, just from a few people, but I think, when you have a limited channel for feedback, like a mailing list, you have to realize that everyone who posts to the mailing list, there are probably a number of people who think the same thing but didn't post it. So I looked at the people who were displeased with the treatment of House Flambeau as representative of a segment of the community.
Can I just interrupt you there for a moment? My experience is, having done a lot of public media broadcasts and an awful lot of television over my career, my experience has always been that when it comes to mailing lists, a small vocal group of nutcases who are highly critical of everything you ever do are always going to shout down the thousands of fans who just passively enjoy, absorb, and work with what you've done.
Yes, this was a little hard for me to accept as I was learning it from experience. But in hindsight, with the wisdom of today, I feel that the House Flambeau chapter was pretty successful. I think it was broadly well received.
What were the specific grounds for controversy then?
Well, the specific grounds for controversy were that I think some people really liked the portrayal of Flambeau the Founder, particularly in Houses of Hermes. It was a third edition source book, which was carried over as the official book on houses for fourth edition as well.
I know it well. Yep.
And it gave a very strong portrayal of Flambeau as...
in the context of the Reconquista, fighting against Moorish.
Not just the Reconquista, but as being just a very violent, aggressive person.
Join or die. Yes.
Join or die. Very dangerous. I mean, I always think of the magician Tim from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Tim the Enchanter. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, there were lines, words to the effect that, you know, before he joined the Order of Hermes, Flambeau had murdered, you know, 50 other wizards in across Europe, mostly just for fun, and things like that. And you're right, though, that the fans who really were invested in the old Flambeau cared a lot more about the Reconquista, which was a big thing in Europe. It's something, as an author, I'm a little bit anxious about touching because of Islamophobia in the real world and so on.
Absolutely.
I think it's great fodder for a saga if you handle it right. But they really cared about the Reconquista and felt that in trying to broaden show more a rounded character of Flambeau, that I made him into a wimp, defanged him, and was caving perhaps to political correctness.
Well, but I mean, one of the issues that we constantly face is the role of anti-Semitism in real medieval Europe, and it's not something that I want to brush aside, but it's not something that I want to dwell on at my gaming table. And so, you know, there's a huge amount of aspects of medieval Europe that I find deeply unpalatable, and I had a friend who was put off Ars Magica for a couple of years after reading some more medieval history and just realizing that how glad they were to live in modern Europe and not the Europe of the Middle Ages, because it can be fodder for a game with some players who are mature and who want to deal with those themes. It can also be bloody depressing, pardon my French, and you know, you can not want to dwell on those aspects. So I was quite happy. I mean, one of the things I thought from what you did in that book was that you created a bit more ambiguity, you gave more options, there was still the capacity to play Flambeau, you know, to have had Flambeau the Founder to have been this somewhat genocidal, dangerous figure. But his religious beliefs also, and his strong Christianity they feature in there. I didn't think there were any really major changes within the portrayal, but perhaps that was just me. Maybe I just wasn't. I mean, one of the issues is, of course, that if Provençal is ever done, and it's not been announced yet if it will be, but if that book ever comes about, there's so much second edition material that could be referenced and that could be used, and do we reboot? Because people have been playing in that part of the world, Iberia, Provençal, for years, that they're going to be outraged if it's changed greatly, I would imagine. But the
because the people who are playing in that part of the world, well, those who have chosen to adopt that older material for their sagas, and we don't know how many of those there are. I mean, I'm playing in the Stonehenge Tribunal, and I use Heirs to Merlin, but I changed almost everything important about the Order of Hermes in the Stonehenge Tribunal.
Yeah.
But I think you're right, that there are going to be people who are devoted to... we're talking about the Tempest, and frankly, material that I haven't read. Even though I go way back with Ars Magica, I don't have a complete collection, and didn't keep up with everything. I certainly don't... I think I have a PDF of The Tempest now, but I have only skimmed it.
I actually have it. I've got all of that material. I've managed to collect pretty much everything, apart from, I don't know how you say it, the Bats of Massile. But I actually had quite a lot of the early scenarios. I've been giving them away over the years at Grand Tribunals as raffle prizes. We all bring along a few books or things, and we sell raffle tickets to raise money for charity. So there are a number of other Ars Magica authors who now have complete collections, and I have a steadily decreasing collection every year. But that was partly a conscious choice because, you know, a lot of that material was of... Some of it was excellent, some of it was questionable. There are aspects of it that are difficult, but there were elements of the early material that I'm not as fond of. And The Tempest, it did introduce a lot of fantastic material, but there was a lot in there that I think is now outdated. But one of the things I've found over the years is that Ars Magica players are great collectors. They like to collect the books, and with any old established RPG, like for example Call of Cthulhu, I've collected since the beginning, but I've got friends now who are in the process of buying on eBay everything.
Yes.
And, you know, and learning the background, it's like learning Lovecraft's Cthulhu mythos from his short stories. people scrutinise the text. I'm always astonished on the mailing list and on Project Redcap by the incredible depth of knowledge some individuals have of things that I'd completely forgotten. But, you know, I've read
them. Yes, I agree.
So, you know, they're vested in having a particular view of House Rambo. They've grown with that. They've used it for a long time. And, I mean, I said a while ago, it's a bit of an unusual one, this. I've never before played a game to the point where one of the player characters has become the primus of a house. And Lucius Delvander, played by Pete Hiley, he started out as a character about 14 years ago in my first big Ars Magica saga I ever ran. And Pete Swambo from that became a very, very popular character. And he asked years later, a decade after we played that saga, if he could reintroduce him when the other player characters got to a similar level of power. So we said, sure, we'll just rewrite his back history and he can appear. And in the course of our saga, he has become Primus of House Flambo, and he's regretted it ever since because he spends all of his time trying to deal with renegade Mithraists and Mercurians arguing the toss over the values of, you know, their respective represent the authentic tradition of House Flambo. So I think he'd probably like to wring your neck if he ever met you. But yeah, tell us some more about that. How did the Mercurians and the Mithraists come about?
Well, when you're writing for Ars Magica, especially for a new, you know, rebooting a house in a new edition of the game, I didn't know what was going to stick, what was going to be really successful, and I had this idea that became the Milites, and it did have a lot of it ended up to go on to be rather popular from what I've seen. That was really largely inspired by something Lucy Hewitt wrote on the old Durnmar website, an alternative view of House Flambo. See, I wasn't the first to think that Flambo, the pyromaniac serial killer, was maybe not the greatest character to have, and not the greatest role model for today's Maggie. So I had this idea of the Milites, the sort of knightly wizards, and there had already been written the Cult of Mithras in Mysteries, and I really liked it, and it also happened, I think, to mention House Flambo. It certainly did in the 4th edition Mysteries.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, you know, here's a real connection. And, like I said, I didn't know if the Milites were going to really take off, if that was too much overlap with House Yerbaton when I was writing the pitch, or if it was, you know, I later found out that Yerbaton went in quite a different direction, or if it would overlap too much with maybe Titalis or something. The mystical side also was something that was missing from previous interpretations of House Flambo, previous presentations of it. So I wanted to bring that in case you wanted to be exploring mysteries in House Flambo. Okay, and you know the pieces were already there. I just wove them in. And likewise for the Cult of Mercury, that had actually been established in True Lineages. Eric Dahl wrote House Mercier, or Mercare, I say Mercare, and had mentioned that the cult of that the House Flambo had been really involved in helping to revive the Cult of Mercury, or this Neo-Mercurian society. So that was already established in 5th edition canon, and that was something that I had to do for that consistency that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, it actually goes back to 2nd edition material set in Provincial, where there is a strong Mercurian priesthood, as I recall it, Doistep.
All that stuff I hadn't read. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so, it's always a problem for me, is that, as I said, I've read far more Ars Magica stuff. I seem to have forgotten more of it than I've read. I've recently been reading through the 1st and 2nd edition stuff that I have, mainly the 2nd edition supplements for Project Redcap, just to update the entries on them a bit. But I haven't recently reread all the 4th edition stuff, and there's a lot of background material in that I'm sure would shock me if I read it again now. But there's so much 5th edition material now that trying to keep up with that is a real pain. So
I have to admit I've fallen behind.
Yeah, we all do. We all do. And it's a problem when you're writing.
I'll have to catch up if and when I read another book.
So what did you think were the strengths of the new presentation of House Flambo? Why did you go the way you did with it?
Well, I was very I've read some history of a few great conquerors, Charlemagne and Llewellyn the Great from Wales.
Yep.
There's a wonderful book by Sharon K. Penman called Here Be Dragons. It was a historical novel about Llewellyn the Great. And so I want to entertain the idea of, you know, what would a character like that do in the Order? So that's part of where I was going. And as I said, I wanted to broaden. So there was design, you know, there was sort of a creative vision. I wanted to make Flambeau like these, like Charlemagne or like Llewellyn, this charismatic leader. But there was also design consciously in mind for the audience. Not everything I wrote for House Flambeau did I write to please myself. I wrote it because I thought that the audience would benefit.
Which I think is always
controversy for House Flambeau. Yeah, okay, there was a flame war on the Burke list, but it was about some fine points that really you could just change for yourself in your saga. The controversy around House Flambeau was, in my opinion, about some facets of the founder's personal history and his character, and these are things that don't really affect your saga that much, or the identity of the house that much. There's something that you can rewrite for yourself, and not and then play the rest of the material as written. My impression, you know, I had earlier compared Flambeau the founder to Tim from Monty Python. My impression of House Flambeau was that it was a parody of a Dungeons and Dragons wizard who casts fireball and, you know, masters combat spells to the exclusion of everything else. And was, you know, in first edition Ars Magica, there are a couple of little jibes that the authors took against Dungeons and Dragons and the conventions and assumptions of D&D. Because Ars Magica was created as a reaction to D&D, so maybe I was reading too much into it, but I thought that Flambeau was a parody, and I wanted to make it a real house.
A discussion of House Flambeau, perhaps.
Yeah, well, that's also kind of appropriate that there was a big flame war about House Flambeau, right?
Yeah, it is appropriate. It is appropriate. But, I mean, one of the nice things about the house is it now has political depth, it has diversity, and, as I say, it's obviously grown a great deal. And there is scope. There's a great deal of scope. One of the nice things about it is there's scope because there's enough members of it. One of the problems I had with the Houses of Hermes series, and, this is as a fan, not as an author, as a writer. Mm-hmm. As a writer, it's not such a problem, perhaps, is that the numbers which are given for the canonical size of many of the houses are so small that it's very difficult to fit all of the different wizards and different types mentioned into the actual, you know, the house as described. House Macare, for example, I think has 12 gifted magi and so many different options for what those gifted magi must be. But like each of the factions or small groups within must only have two or three wizards. So I suppose you can always change that for your personal saga. But House Flambeau is quite a large house, as I recall.
It is, and it was in Houses of Hermes as well, so I sort of carried that number forward proportionally.
So
one thing that is interesting that I thought would be controversial but proved not to be was that there are very few new virtues and flaws. There's a story flaw, Mules, and that's it.
Yeah.
For House Flambeau. There are no exclusive rules for House Flambeau.
There's a really good bit, though, on how to use magic offensively. I mean, that's a really nice section that we've used quite a bit in our game. How to get around Palmer Magica, etc. I seem to remember that featuring quite strongly. There's some good advice on playing the characters. There's a lot of different... There's a huge amount in that chapter. I mean, I've reread it recently. And
But it's almost all fluff, what we call fluff. It's all setting and background and strategies and advice for the player, and there's very little in the way of rules for House Flambeau.
I wrote the fluff on... for the Mysteries Revised Edition, Neil largely wrote the mechanics, I wrote the fluff. The joke was that I was the fluffer, which was an unfortunate term. we're not going to dwell on that. But,
was that funny at the time? anyway, look, come on.
No, I mean, I wrote a lot of the text, which I think makes sense of how it's working. And we're doing the best we can with these things, and sometimes we're writing under quite a lot of pressure, and they're collaborative efforts, the books. It sounds like you had a lot of fun, though, reading envisaging House of Lambeau?
I did. It was a good experience. It was a good experience until the Berklist, you know, got involved, and then it was rough for a couple of weeks, and then I made my peace with that, and I think it's a good experience all around. You know, there are a few things that I do a little bit differently, but I think the house is a little bit too busy. But where do you draw the line? What's enough depth and scope, and what's too much?
But what would you do differently then?
Well, some small things. You know, knowing how attached people were to certain aspects and having a chance to discuss with them, some of them offline, one-on-one, what they were really attached to. You know, I did want to make an effort to preserve some continuity and made Flambeau a warrior who fought the Moors and so on. I could have gone a little further with that. For instance, it came to my attention after the fact that Flambeau, which I thought was, French word, is also Catalan.
Yeah.
And so I could have kept Flambeau Spanish. Catalan. Didn't even know. So, yeah, but that's a small thing. And I guess I would have had to give some more thought as to how the different components, the Mercurians and the Mithraeans and the Milites, fit together, because those don't all match. So the house is a bit of a hodgepodge.
That makes for great stories if you're playing the Primus, though.
I guess it does. Yeah, so tell me more about this Primus. What school of magical combat does he use?
I don't actually know directly. I mean, he was a 4th edition character originally, a Crow Ignem specialist.
So that's the school of the Founder.
Yeah, he was from the school of the Founder. I mean,
blasting things with fire.
Yeah, he ends up finding out from all sword, though, and later on in our game, he was initiated into Mercurian magics, but he'd for a long time been involved with a covenant based around a Mithraeum, so he united those two factions, found himself unable to cast much more spontaneous spells, but was brought in as a compromise candidate, in as far as you can have a compromise candidate when things got turned a bit, fiery, during a... after the stepping down of Garrus as Primus in our saga. It was just one of those things that grew organically. We didn't set out for Pete's character to become the Primus. It made sense in the context of the story.
Why did Garrus resign?
Oh, that was because of the ongoing conflict. In our particular saga, it was a great deal to do with Belnegra and Castra Solis. And that was the one question I was going to finish asking you, because we're running short on time again, which was, why did you replace Belnegra with Castra Solis? Because I think that was also a controversial decision, wasn't it?
I don't remember. I expected it to be controversial, but I don't remember much controversy about it. Maybe it was all behind my back.
So why did you replace it with Castra Solis?
Well, I wanted to create possibilities for House Flambeau to engage more politically,
right?
And to have a part in a political saga, because I know that's a very popular element of Ars Magica, and Velnegra is impractical for that. It's in a regio, it's practically inaccessible. They're not, you can't really run a house from there.
Yeah.
And you can't run stories around a house from there. So it just wasn't working with my vision. And I would add that there was, in canon, some ambiguity about the real status of Velnegra. It was sort of like a de facto Domus Magna.
Yeah.
So I just moved it, and, you know, the editor and playtesters and so on seemed to go along with that.
Yeah. I think it was a popular choice in the long run. Castra Solis replaced Belnegra, and we had a whole new house and a new vision on it. And I'd like to thank you, and although it was controversial, and I'm sure there were elements that at the time I was probably indignant about, I can't remember frothing on a flame war, but I very rarely do get involved in flame wars, to be honest. Mainly because I just don't... By the time I pick up on them, there's already been 300 posts in 2 days, and I've lost track. So, yeah. Well, thank you very much, Andrew. I think we've probably gone beyond our 30 minutes yet again, so I'd like to thank you for this. This has been Arcane Connection, episode number 10 on House Flambeau. I'm CJ, and this has been
Andrew. And I'm Andrew, and thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Good night.